Be back to hear some more of that. I'm looking forward to it. All right. Obviously, this is our last Sunday of the year, and next Sunday will be the first of 2025, and so I'm going to preach a Happy New Year, emphasis on happy. Happy New Year, emphasis on happy. You know, the world will try to tell you, and maybe a backslidden Christian will try to tell you, that God doesn't want you to be happy. You can have joy down deep inside, you know, but God doesn't want you to be happy. I don't agree with that. I think God wants you to be happy. It's kind of like, you know, I told my kids, don't you run out in the street. Oh, man, Dad don't want us to be happy. I mean, I'm just trying to run out in the street. Right? I don't want you to be dead. I want you to be happy, all right? And so, anyway, that's, you know, the world kind of twists that and mess with us a little bit. God wants you to be happy, too. That word blessed, that's basically the same thing. Blessed, happy, that's what God wants. And so, we're looking here at Psalm 1. We're going to read the first six verses, and then I'll get into the outline. It says here, blessed, or blessed, or happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So that ungodly and that, you know, scornful, like, you know, your parents hate you. I can't believe they won't let you run in traffic. Right? Your parents got these ungodly rules. They don't want you to be happy. That's ungodly counsel. They stand in the way of sinner, nor sit in the seat for scornful. That, you know, your parents don't love you. That's scornful. That's wicked. But anyway, it says here, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his seat, or in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth or shall prosper. And so prosperity brings happiness. That's going to be the last point of the outline today, that prosperity, prosper. But the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly, or the way of the ungodly, shall perish. And so you have 2 points right there. Both start with P. You want to be prosperous, prosperity, have prosperity or be prosperous, or do you want to perish? And so, again, you think running in the traffic will bring you happiness, but it could bring you the perishing part. And so we know God doesn't want us to be miserable. He wants us to be happy. Revelation 21, verse 5 says this, and he hath set upon the throne, or he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. So we're looking at happy new year. And so blessed is the man. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. He does all that stuff. But then it says here, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto him, write, for these words are true and faithful. So God is the giver of many things. And they come to us by faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So God wrote us a love letter. God wrote us a book of instructions. God wrote us a manual for life and says, look, if you'll do that, you'll be happy. Now, I know some of you guys, you're more happy to build something without instructions. I got it. I know how to do it. And there are some people that are carpenters or mechanics, and they can fix things without a YouTube video. All right? They just know how to do it. All right. But a lot of us that can't build and can't mechanic, we need the YouTube video. Back that up. Let me listen to it again. We want to do it exactly like Joe Bob or whoever is making that video, because we need to follow it. So that's what he said here. I write these things down, and if you're true and faithful to it, you can be happy. I'll make all things new. He gave us a new birth by faith. He gave us new nature. He gave us a new heart. He gave us new life. He gives us new hope. He gives us a new task. He will eventually give us a new body, and those of our bodies that are wearing out, praise the Lord, we'll get a new one. He's going to give us a new heaven and a new earth. And so, behold, God says, I can make all things new. Again, a new day. If we messed up yesterday, confess it. Here's a new day. Confess and forsake. New day. God makes all things new. And so, you've heard people, you know, somebody says, you know, we wish you a Merry Christmas, and you may have heard that song. And depend on where you were shopping, maybe, or who was behind the counter, you may have heard Merry Christmas. You know, most of them might get mad at you if you say that to them. Happy holidays! Yeah, you can tell you're real happy. But anyway, you know, Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. And then now everybody's saying we wish you a Happy New Year. We're putting wishes on you. Now, I can wish you have a New Year all day long, but I can't do it. I don't have holy water up here. This is just Sam's water. All right, I can't go, you know, New Year, Happy New Year. Happy. I don't have that ability. All right, I can wish it all day long, but I am going to show you today how you can have a Happy New Year. And it's not based on my thoughts. It's not based on that water or any other water. It's based on this. That's what he said. Write these things down, because I make all things new. And so I'm going to give you a couple points here today that guarantee double your money back, if you want to say it. You know, send it back for a full refund, whatever. God says, I want you to have a Happy New Year. So we don't have to wish. We can just trust and obey, and God will give us a new year, a Happy New Year. So we don't have to wish it. So some may say that there are things that you can't do anything about. You know, I would have a Happy New Year, but, and you would fill in the blanks. And you said, there's just nothing I can do about that. It hurts too bad. I don't agree with it. It makes me mad. All right? That's what the world wants us to think. That's what the devil wants to think. But I disagree. There's nothing, all right, that can take your happiness away unless you let it. Okay? God says. He said, write this thing down. Look. Proverbs 16:20. Proverbs 16:20. Listen to the second part of this verse. And whoso, that means anybody. If you're having a good day or a bad day, if you're having a good life or a bad life, if you had a good year or a bad year, and whoso, here it is, trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Okay? And I'll give you a couple examples real quick. Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. He was happy. He wasn't happy about that. But he was happy that he had a God that he could trust in that shut the lion's mouth. Joseph was mistreated by his brothers. Anybody been there? You got any siblings that mistreat you? All right. He was sold into slavery. And he worked hard and got in charge and he was doing good things and then was seduced by his boss's wife. And he ran. He fled. Flee fornication, the Bible says. And so he was booking it. He was doing what the Bible said. And he was happy that he got out of there, but then he got lied about and thrown into prison and forgotten. But even in that, he was happy. And Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust you. And that's what the Bible says. Whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I mean, I could just keep on going. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they all trusted Jonah. He finally trusted the Lord. Happy. So we see here, the Bible says, whoso trusteth in the Lord. No matter what the situation is, you can be happy. So I've never met anyone who enjoyed being unhappy. All right? This season, you know, the Grinch. All right? He just chose to be bah humbug. He chose to be unhappy. But most of that's just, they're just messing. They really want to be happy. So we see here, some of us, we go out and maybe we need some new pants because we've outgrown them either this way and they've become man capris, all right? Or maybe this way, the stretchy's all stretched. But we get at why? Because we're trying to make ourselves happy. Some people have to have a certain name brand. That's what makes me happy. Or so you have to have a certain style. That's what makes me happy. That's why we purchase things, because it makes us happy. Some people, they go to certain restaurants. Why? Because it makes them happy. They got food poisoning at this one. Never going back there. All right. They ate something here and it just didn't taste good. Not going there. All right. They went to this place. Oh, man, I could just eat and eat and eat. Why? Make themselves happy. So then there's some people that go to certain places. All right, I got to go to this place. That's what's going to make me happy. I'm going to go on this vacation. That's what's going to make me happy. There were some of you, when you walked into those two doors back there a while ago, you went to a certain area. Why? Because that makes you happy. This is my pew. This is my section. All right? This is my space. All right? And I'm happy. But then some of you might have got there and there was a visitor. And you weren't happy. All right? And you're going to be unhappy the whole service because you're not sitting where you're supposed to. I think everybody made it. Right? I think the visitor's kind of just filtered in. Amen? I think everybody's right where you're supposed to be. Amen? Because it makes you happy. It makes you feel good. So we see that we can make decisions that make us happy. This outfit makes me happy. It makes me look 10 pounds lighter. I'm very happy about it. This outfit, you know, it does. It's got some expansion on here, and that makes me happy. I can breathe. Things like that. We do things because it makes us happy. So that's what God says. Hey, fellas, write these things down. Why? Because I want everybody to be happy. And so here it is. This is how to do it. So let's look at a few things. Happiness is important to us, and God wants us to be happy. The word happy, I mean the word happy, is found 26 times in the Bible. If He put it in there once, He wanted you to be happy. He put it in there 26 times. And we're not going to, you know, calm down. I don't have 26 points today. All right. Oh, no, we're going to be here. Don't make me happy. Proverbs 6:20, what's the first thing that God says will make you happy? Proverbs 6:20, we've already read it. Trusting the Lord brings happiness. Trusting the Lord. I don't understand this. I would not have chosen this. It actually hurts. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to trust in You, Lord. You allowed it. I mean, Job. I mean, boom, boom, boom. I mean, as one left, another one come. Another one left, another one come. I mean, bam, 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 bam. God wasn't trying to make Job unhappy. What did He do? He trusted the Lord. And there's a verse in that book that he had written down. And in all this, Job sinned not. And when I see the stuff that he had to go through, I was like, wow, I don't know if I could have done it. But Job was happy that, hey, God helped me. And then after that, you know, God, he went through all that. Lost his kids and lost his wealth and lost his health and lost. But in all that, Job sinned not. He just trusted the Lord. Then you keep on reading in that book, and it says, and God, basically, I'm paraphrasing here, gave him twice as much back. Right? I mean, He gave him 10 more kids. So he had 20 kids. 10 up there, 10 down here. 20. The donkeys, the camels, the property. God blessed him. So we see here that God wants us to be happy, so we just have to trust in Him. The happiest day of anybody's life is the day they got saved. And what'd you do? You trusted in Jesus as your Savior. Trust in the Lord. It brings happiness. So we see here, obviously, it doesn't say that the day you got saved, it solved all your problems. All of us can testify to that. Just as happy as we were that day that our sins were forgiven. I was cleansed. I was standing before God in perfection because He saw Jesus' blood on me. Whew, what a relief. But I still had aches and pains. I still had disappointments. I still had issues. He didn't solve all the problems. But He said, hey, what I'll do is I'll solve your sin problem. You won't have to die and go to hell. All right? You'll be able to die and go to heaven. And I will also introduce you to the rest of the Trinity. All right? Jesus, and let Him die for you. The Holy Spirit, let Him guide you, comfort you, and direct you. Navigate you through all those problems. So our Christian life begins with faith and it continues with faith. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore being justified by faith. Thank you, Brother Todd. By faith. Weird. It's in the 60s. All right, next week's going to be in the teens. Amen. But anyway, we see, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved, we have peace. I'm not dying and going to hell anymore. I have peace. I'm going to heaven. And I'm justified. Justified in every sin. Why? By faith. Romans 1:17. The just shall live by faith. So I get saved by faith and now I have to live by faith. I trust God by faith. That brings me happiness. Happy Christians look for God for everything. Right? I remember my brother. I remember both of us did this. I can't throw him under the bus without throwing myself under there. I remember taking a piece of bubble gum. You know, back when I was a kid, bubble gum was like right there, like all the wrapped candies that are now by the cash register. I got me a piece, and I'm in the car. My mom's like, "Where'd you get that?" I wanted to say I had it, but I didn't. I was like, in the store? Right there in the parking lot. Nobody was videoing her. Everybody was cheering her on. Tear his little tail up for being a thief. All right? But I'm going to turn you in. So I had to go back in and give the 25 cents. I learned not to be a thief. And my brother did the same thing with a Snickers bar. He was worse. He got bigger stuff, you know. Five-finger discount, a Snickers bar. My dad caught him. And so, I mean, forever we'd go to the store. Now, he was way younger than me. Anything that he put up on that little conveyor belt, before he touched it, he would look at Dad and go, "Is this paid? Is this paid?" He learned. I'm not going to steal. And so we see that we have to learn. We go through things like that. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that trust God and love Him. So we see here happiness. We got to look to God for everything. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. If I just trust Him, I don't have this, don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. I'm not happy. I'm sad. No, I'm just going to trust God to give me what He wants to give me. Supply all my needs according to His riches and glory, then I'm happy. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, such as common to man. I mean, I fall to temptation, I fall to temptation, I fall to temptation. And the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. What? Why? Because you can learn. Listen to this verse again. There hath no temptation taken you, which is common to man. All of us are tempted. Listen to these next four words. But God is faithful. So when we fall into it, we got to learn. We got to look to Him. We learn. And so then it says here, but with will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able. And some of us were like, man, I'm like right there, God. I don't know if I can handle this. But it says here, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you will be able to bear it. So if we trust God, even though we have needs, even though we have temptation, we can trust Him and we can be happy. John 14:1-27. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is what Jesus says. Don't let your heart be troubled. I want you to be happy. I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to be sad. I don't want you to be disappointed. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Skip down to verse 27. It says here, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So God doesn't want us to be sad. He doesn't want us to be disappointed. He wants us to be happy, even though there's temptation, even though there's needs, even though there's disappointments. God says, look, through all that, I can work it for your good. I can work it to be let you be happy. So we see here, trusting God and standing on His promises brings us happiness. Number two, what else brings happiness? Trusting, that's a hard thing to do sometimes. This one's harder. Obedience brings happiness. Obedience. Like, ooh, that's sometimes that's a bad word. Obedience. John 13:17. If you know these things. What things? These things that he wrote down. If you know them, listen to what it says. If you know these things, this is found in John 13:17. If you know these things, these words he wrote down, the next word is this. Happy are ye that do them. Sometimes we don't want to know the truth. That way we're not responsible for it. That's why a lot of people don't go to church. They don't want to hear about their sin, so they're not responsible for it. They don't want to hear about hell and heaven, because then they're not responsible for it. What is our kid? I did this when I was a kid. I was just getting reamed and getting some of those instructions, and I went, whoo. Then I went. But anyway, so obedience. Obedience brings happiness. It says right there, if you know these things that's written in that Bible, you do them, you're happy. Obedience. We see here because there's doctrine, teaches us the truth. There's principles that we can live by. There's instruction. There's promises. Everything we need is in that book. So it says here, if we know them, and we do them, that's when the happiness comes. To know them and not to do good, the Bible says that's sin. That doesn't bring happiness. Listen to this statement. I'm going to probably say it twice. It's not the acquisition. Right? It's not getting it that brings happiness. Right? Because the Bible talks about ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of truth. I mean, some people get instructed and get instructed and get instructed and they never start doing it. So it's not the acquisition, the getting it, that brings the happiness. It's the application that brings the happiness. So the whole statement is this. It's not the acquisition, but the application of the truth that makes us happy. That's what that verse is saying. To know these things. Happy? Oh yeah, I know the Bible. I'm happy. No. If you know these things, happy are ye that do them. Do them. So we have to obey. So just like the hymn says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. William Booth, he was the director of the Salvation Army, he said this statement, the secret of great joy or happiness is I never said no to the Lord. That's a pretty good statement. He said, the reason I'm so happy is because I never said no to the Lord. In other words, he said, start this. I started it. He said, give all this away. He gave it all away. Serve people. He said, the secret of my happiness is I just never said no to the Lord. Sometimes we'll hear these things and we're like, nah, I can't do that. That's good for the preacher. That's good for the church people. Or that's good for the Christian. But no, can't do it. That's where we draw the line. If we're going to be happy, we're going to have to learn to never say no to the Lord, whatever the Bible says. So we see here, if we're unhappy, there's a good chance we're disobedient. Some people, they hear the truth. These things, these words. The Bible says, be born again. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Right? Get saved, basically what the Bible's saying. And if somebody says no, they're disobedient. They're definitely not going to be happy through life. Definitely not at the judgment seat of Christ. Or at the great white throne judgment. There's Christians that maybe they might get saved. They might get fire insurance, whatever. Okay, I'll do that. Just get you off my back, this, that, and the other. I don't know about all that stuff. But then once you get saved, then the Bible says, get baptized. And some people are like, I know that's the first step of obedience of a Christian, but I'm scared of water. Or I'm this, or I'm that, and I don't like to be in front of people. And they make excuses. And so then now every time somebody mentions it, like I just did, they're not happy. All right, everybody, all of us that have been kaplooshed, that's right. And I'm happy I was obedient. And I'm glad I'm pleasing to God. I did that. And the next step after that is joining a local church, is what these things that I've written. And, church membership, that's all numbers. They just push. No. Just want you to be happy. I want you to be obedient. God says, get saved. Get baptized and get you a church. Right? And stay there. I'm just talking these things. This happy are you that trust in the Lord. Happy are you that obey the Lord. Then once you get in the church, then we have to do what we did a while ago. Tithe. I knew it. All you preachers, I don't get any. I get some of that for my salary, but most of that goes to missionaries and bills and in the bank to do something with it in the future. So we see that it's just obedience. Right? On the first day of the week. Bring that tithe to the storehouse. That's how you're going to be happy, by obedience. Then, once we get saved, we get baptized, we get in church, then we start getting our money. And then the next step for a Christian is be involved in some type of outreach. Support a missionary. Pass out a tract. Be an example in the community. That's just being obedient. That's how to be happy. Obedience. Then, after you do all that, the Bible says read your Bible. Pray. Oh my goodness. Yeah, it'll make you happy. It's like, if you're trying to be happy without being obedient, I heard this statement the other day. It's like trying to, scoop water with a pitchfork. Good luck. You're not going to get much out of it. You're going to be working like crazy, but it's not going to be getting lower. You're not going to be getting the job done. So trying to be happy without being obedient to God, like scooping water with a pitchfork, it's not going to work. So what brings happiness? Trusting brings happiness. Obedience brings happiness. And we're right there. I hope if you have your Bible still open to Psalm 1, the next step is, okay, how to be happy? Trusting in the Lord will bring you happiness. Obeying the Lord will bring you happiness. The third one is this, not following the advice of the ungodly will bring you happiness. It says it right there. Okay? And you're going to get a lot of ungodly advice, especially if you're on social media, right? Especially if you're out and about, especially if you ask somebody that's not a Christian, what do you think? I mean, they're going to tell you. And you're going to get some ungodly advice. And again, what's going to bring you happiness is listening to the Bible, listening to a godly advisor. Okay? An ungodly advice is not going to bring, oh, I shouldn't have listened. I shouldn't have done that. What should I do about this? Oh man, this is what I did. Do it. If it goes directly against what God has said, it's not going to bring you happiness. Ungodly. So Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly. Happy is the man that doesn't listen to that ungodly counsel. Proverbs 11:14 says this, where no counsel is, because some people are like, I just won't listen to anybody. Write these things down, because I want everybody to be happy. That's what he said, remember? Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Now, a lot of people try to twist this verse. What I'll do is I'll start over here, and I'll ask her, and I'll ask him, and I'll ask her, and ask her, and I'll just go all the way around. And as soon as somebody tells me exactly what I want to hear, that's what I'm going to do. That's the multitude of counselors. That's not what it's talking about. All right, the multitude of counselors is maybe like, all right, I'm not going to ask my mechanic physical advice. I'm having this little pain here. Yeah, I'll give you a tune-up or I'll give you a tire rotation. I'm going to ask my mechanic about my car. It's going click, 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 honk, 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 honk. You know, like you do when you go in there. You don't know the technical terms, but it's making this noise. All right? That's who you ask. That's who's going to fix it. Now, I'm not going to go to my doctor that's going to give me a whatever oscopy he's going to give me. All right? My car is going... Rah, 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 rah. Yep, this is what you need to do. No, I'm probably not going to do that. Talk to him. All right? Because he didn't have time to work on cars. He's working on humans. And so that's what that's talking about. Where no counsel is, you're going to fall flat on your face. I'm trying to tell you how to be happy. Get some counsel. All right? But in the multitude of counselors, the ones that that know what they're talking about. In other words, you probably wouldn't ask your mechanic or your doctor, how do I go to heaven? Right. That might be the preacher's answer, okay? Or a godly Christian, a saved person. So that's what that's talking about. Proverbs 24:6. It says here, for by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war. In other words, because if you're going to be happy and you want to be blessed of God, it's going to take a fight, a war. So get some wise counsel and make that war. And it says here, for the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So we see here, what brings happiness? Trusting the Lord brings happiness. Obedience brings happiness. Not listening to ungodly counsel brings happiness. Here's another one. Godly living brings happiness. Look back in verse 1. All right, blessed is the man that walketh not, and we already talked about it, the counsel of ungodly. And here's the next part. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. So I can't be a sinner. I got to be godly. I can't stand out there and be happy, because I'm going to be convicted if you're saved. Holy Spirit's going to be telling you the whole time, you ought not be doing that. You ought not be talking about that. You ought not be participating in that. And you're like, you're not happy? Right? That's why people that get backslidden, they go full bore drug addict or full bore sin, liver. Why? Because they're trying to block out the Holy Spirit. They're trying to be happy. I got to have more. I got to have more. No, godly living is what brings happiness. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Here's another one. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Hey, kids, if you have a friend that says, your parents are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Your parents have mean rules. Your parents don't love you. That's what this is talking about. That's a scorner. Okay, they're mocking right. They're mocking God. They're mocking your right living. So stay away from those. It says here, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I heard another person say something about standeth in the way of sinners. Now, I know what I just said is probably what it's talking about. Don't go out there with them or you're not going to be happy. But let's say if you are a Christian and you are out there, you might be standing in the way of sinners as well. They need to be saved. Then they see you and they're like, aren't you a Christian? Yeah. And you're doing that? Well, if that's Christianity, I already got it or I don't want it. We might be standing in the way. We might not be that salt and that light. So we see that God says, hey, if you want to be happy, godly living brings happiness. Don't sit in that seat of scornful. Don't relax and sit down with people that scorn and mock God and mock Christians. Number five, meditation on God's Word brings happiness. Meditation is right there. It says here, walk not in the counsel of ungodly. Don't sit, stand in the seat of scorn, or stand in the way of sinners. Sit in the seat of scornful. And here it is. But his delight, what makes him happy, is the law of the Lord, the Bible. And this Bible or this law doth he meditate day and night. Think about it. All right, so we saw what brings happiness. God says, trusting me, obeying me. Hey, fellas, write this stuff down. Because I want them to learn it and I want them to be happy. Happy is he that do them. So we see that God wrote this down. Psalm 1:2 says, but his light in the law of the Lord, but he doth meditate day and night. So if I want to be happy this coming year, I need to determine that I need to read my Bible or meditate in my Bible day and night. My wife drives a good ways to work, and she's got audio Bible, and she's listening to it. And she's found this one that they have the, I guess it's the acting out people, like when John's talking at some, you know, very good speaker or whatever, and got a pleasant voice. But then when the devil's talking, it's like, it's all acting it out. But she's meditating as she's driving. Okay? And then, obviously, at night, good thing to read the Bible. So if you want to be happy, read it. Why? Because you got to read it to know it. Then you can do it. Then you're going to be happy. You see the steps there. So read and meditate every day into the morning and the evening. So I remember hearing that as a teenager. Just starting to go to church, you need to read your Bible. You need to have a walk with God. Read your Bible. Have a walk with God. It's the best thing for you. And you have to determine. Why? Because if you want to read your Bible, something's going to happen. You're going to fall asleep. You wake up and the Bible's on your face. Osmosis doesn't work. Right? Even if you drool a little bit on the pages, it's not going to stick. Okay? You have to read it. So we have to do that. Something's going to come up. But I decided, hey, I need to read this Bible. I need to do what this Bible says. Why? Because I want to be happy. And then if you look at the other aspects of it, as I was reading it, as a 17-year-old for the first time, starting to learn, individual Christians need to behave like this. God will bless you. And then, you know, 17-year-old dudes, the only thing really in a 17-year-old's mind is sports and girls. And maybe not even in that direction. You know, sometimes it was like girls then sports, but then sometimes sports and girls maybe. Right? But then I'm adding Bible in there, and sometimes those three things just didn't compute in my brain because I loved sports, I liked girls, but there were some things that said, no, not till you're married. Ugh. But I want to be happy. You know what? I am. Because I did what that said, and I saved myself for her, and I'm happy about it. So we see, that's the way to do it. And I put God first, and I'm happy about it. So we see here, why did I start reading the Bible? Because the individual Christian needs to learn to be happy. But then I also saw in reading it that when I got married, then little knothead one came along, knothead two came along, and as I was reading that, I found out it was my responsibility to teach them this. Raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. When they're old, they won't depart from it. So I was like, if I'm supposed to teach it to them, I need to know my stuff. You can't wing raising kids. You can't wing fly by the seat of your pants Christianity and be happy. You got to know it, and you got to do it, and that's what's going to bring happiness. And so when they came to me and said, Dad, what's the Bible mean about this? And I was able to show them. I was happy about it. And then when I saw them having some struggles in their life that I was trying to nurture, train, I had this to back me up. This is what the Bible says. This is why you can't do that. This is why I'm having to do this, and this is why. You use the Bible. That's what's going to make you happy. And then, lo and behold, for some weird reason, I don't know why, I still ask him about it often, God called me to be a preacher. How can I preach if I don't know it? I'm supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. I'm supposed to tell you, this is what the Bible means right here. And this is how you're going to be happy. This is, if you'll do this, I promise you, money back guarantee. If you'll read it, meditate on it, and then actually do what it says, God's going to bless you beyond measure, and you're going to be happy. Got to be able to rightly divide it. So we have to read it. We see, I will never be able to master it. I've been reading it again now since I was 17, so I guess that was 40 years now. I still scratch the surface. Why? Because it's alive. It's God's Word. But I'm going to keep digging, and I'm going to keep reading, I'm going to keep meditating. Why? Because all those things still exist. I'm still a Christian. I'm still dead. I'm still a preacher. I got to have it. I want to make God happy. So, we see, I got to do that. So what brings happiness? Trusting the Lord. What brings happiness? Obedience to the Lord, not following the advice of ungodly. Godly living, meditation. Here's the last one. And it was right there when we read it this morning. What brings happiness? Prosperity. Nobody likes to fail. Nobody doesn't like to have what they don't, or doesn't have what they need. Everybody likes to be prosperous. Now again, we don't have to be crazy, rich and stuff like that. But Psalm 1, verse 3, you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and that he bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and his leaf shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So prosperity brings happiness. So I'm not trying to listen to the ungodly. I'm not trying to stand in the way of sinners. I'm not trying to sit in the seat of scorn and forth. I'm doing my best to meditate day and night. That's going to bring me prosperity. Prosperity comes from God. No other way. Some people might be monetarily rich. But if God's not in it, I guarantee they're not happy. How many movie stars got houses in the Caymans, houses in the mountains, houses in the Florida, houses, and they commit suicide? Why? Because they're not happy. They got houses, they got money, they got clothes, they got cars, but they're not happy. It's not in money. It's not in things. Prosperity comes from the Lord. I'll give you three examples, and I'll wrap it up. Genesis 39:23, it says this. Joseph, we talked about him in the introduction, that got sold into slavery by his brothers. He got lied about by Potiphar's wife. He got falsely imprisoned. Thought people forgot. But Genesis 39:23 says this. The Lord was with him. With him in the pit. With him in the prison. All right, he was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it prosperous. Prosperous. God did it. 2 Chronicles 26:5. And King Uzziah. It says here, as long as he sought the Lord. So there was a condition there. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. God is the one that brings that prosperity based on us trusting, obeying, not listening to the ungodly, living godly and meditating on the Word of God. God says, you got it. Boom. Prosperity. Daniel 6:8 says this. So Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. So it wasn't because Darius was the king. It was because Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, and God blessed him. So we see that the prosperity came from that. So we're going to look real quick at some prosperity that we are guaranteed. If we do it, God's going to make us prosperous. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. God's like, okay, if you want to be prosperous, you give. Maybe not necessarily just your money, but your time, your talents. You give that back to God, God's going to bless you. 2 Corinthians 9:6. He which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. God's like, look, if you want to be prosperous, this is how you do it. You give, I'll give it back to you. You give much, I'm going to give you much. You give a little bit, I'll give you a little bit. It's right there, principles. So giving brings prosperity. The Bible meditation, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, We've already read that somewhere. That they may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So you got to do what the Bible says. Don't just read it. And here's the promise. God's promise. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So we see here, give. Meditate. Here's another one. Another promise how to be prosperous. You got to be honest. You got to be honest. You can't shorthand. The Bible talks about dealing with a slack hand, shortcuts. You just got to be honest. I'll read you one verse. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Try to hide it, try to get around it, try to shortcut it. You're not going to prosper. Here it is. But whosoever confesseth and forsakes, then shall have mercy. So again, it's not sin, oh my bad, sin, my bad. No. Sin, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And matter of fact, I'm going to forsake that. And help me never to do it again. That's when you're going to be prosperous. Here's another one. You got to be spiritual. I don't like being spiritual. It's no fun. That's what the devil will tell you. It's just as much fun to me to live spiritual as anything else. Matter of fact, more fun. Because if I do something that's not spiritual, I feel guilty. I get convicted. So it's not fun. So spirituality, 3 John 2. 3 John 2 says this, Beloved, I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Happy New Year. John was saying, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper in thy health. Oh, okay, he's blessing me, hoping me that I be healthy. Didn't stop there. But it says here, even as thy soul prospereth. In other words, he says, I hope you're so stinking spiritual that God follows that up with being so blessed physically. So we got to be spiritual. Last one, being in one accord. We're talking about how does the Bible say I can be prosperous? Give, and I'll give you more. Okay? You meditate, then you'll be prosperous. On the Bible, then you'll be prosperous, and I'll bless you. Be honest, be spiritual, and be in one accord. Acts 2:46. And they continued daily in one accord in the temple, breaking the bread from house to house, did eat their meat, and here it is, with gladness, happiness, prosperity. Right? God says, I will bless you if you're in one mind, one accord. And that's His promise to the church. Obviously, a church that's worrying about who gets the credit, worrying about their opinion versus so-and-so's opinion, that's how the gates of hell can't even resist that. The outside can't hurt this. The inside is where it gets hurt. But if we stay in one accord, one mind, one direction, one God, one Bible, one everything, one. That's what the Bible says. There's one Lord, one baptism, one church, one. There's just one. And if we'll all stay together in that one mind, one accord, the Bible says, hey, there will be gladness, there will be blessing, there will be prosperity. So, hey, how can I have a happy new year? By trusting the Lord, by being obedient to Him, not following ungodly counsel, living godly, meditating on His Word, and being prosperous. Let God bless you. So, we see here, giving, Bible meditation, honesty, spiritual, and God will bless in one accord. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, I just ask you to be with the invitation now. Lord, there may be somebody here today that they've never been saved, so they might not know what I'm talking about. And Lord, if they're not saved today, and if you would like to save them, Lord, we just ask you to put that on their heart, and we'll take the Bible and show them how they can be saved. Just have them ask. And Lord, I just ask you to be with the decisions that we have, the focus that we have for this coming new year. I want to have a happy new year. Well, you wrote it down in your word, showed us how we can have it. And we tried to bring that today. So I just ask you to speak to people's hearts, or if there's decisions that need to be made, Lord, help them make them right there in their seat, or the altar will be open. Lord, I just ask you to work in our hearts, Lord, just like we saw in Sunday school. I want to be well-pleasing, but I can't. I need you to work. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation. The altar is open. If you're not saved, you'd like me, I'll show you in the Bible how to be saved. If there's some decision that the Lord spoke to you about, come talk to Him about it.